Good morning.
Got some reverb going on there. This is what happens when I...
Welcome to worship here at St. Luke's Lutheran Church.
And happy Father's Day. On Tuesday at 10 o'clock, we have Bible study right here. We're going through the Purpose Driven Life, and we are reading as we gather. So there's no homework that you have to do in advance. You just need to come and be present for a discussion. We're going to have a really good time with this particular book. It's opened up a lot of thoughts that we have about what our purpose in life is. And next Sunday, if you show up here at our regular time, you're going to find a bunch of church. It's because we're going to be joining with Union Congregational for the second annual Hymn Sing and Ice Cream Social. So even if you are not into singing hymns, I'm sure that you're into ice cream, right?
Yes.
Okay, I heard a resounding yes on ice cream. So come on over to Union Congregational, so we'll meet with them next Sunday, so you don't have to be here. That means you can sleep in, go out to breakfast. But be over at Union Congregational for the 11 o'clock hosting an ice cream session. It should be a lot of fun. Do we have any other announcements we need to take care of? Michelle?
Well, I have one. We are hosting the Illini 4,000 bikers that come through. They are college students, and we hosted them since 2012. They raise awareness and funds for cancer research and patient support services. And we'll be serving them dinner again on July 5th, that night, and also providing a light breakfast the next morning. So we plan to have a dinner around 6 o'clock, and would like to invite everyone, and also we'll be sending around sign-ups for to help with that. So I wanted to let everyone know that's up and coming.
Thank you, Michelle. I appreciate that. One other note for our young people, and that is Vacation Bible School. Community-wide Vacation Bible School is going to be June 21st through 27th, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. over at New Life Assembly of God. The theme this year is Scuba, Diving into Friendship with God. So if you're interested in that, contact me and I'll give you further information. Anything else you need to take care of as far as announcements? If not, please stand as you are able for the confession of faith. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sin. His mercy endures forever. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy
on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin, and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. Let's join together in our gathering song, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, number 64.
Thank you.
Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Yes.
God speaks to us in scripture reading.
Preachers, preaching and song. The first reading is from Ezekiel 17, 22 through 24. Tree imagery is used in a Masonic prophecy to tell how the Lord will choose someone from Judah's royal family, the cedar tree, to reign over all creation. This tree will be planted on Mount Zion, the location of the Holy Temple. A reading from Ezekiel. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will take a sprig from the lofty top of a cedar. I will set it out. I will break off a tender one from the topmost of its young twigs. I myself will plant it on high and lofty mountain. On the mountain height of Israel, I will plant it in order that it may produce boughs and bear fruit and become a noble cedar. Under it, every kind of bird will live. In the shade of its branches will nest winged creatures of every kind. All the trees of the field shall know that I am the Lord. I bring low the high tree, I make high the low tree. I dry up the green tree, and make the dry tree flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will accomplish it. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read Psalm 92, 1 through 4, and 12 through 15 responsibly. It is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High.
To carol your love in the morning, and your faithfulness at night.
On the psaltery and on the lyre, and on the melody of the harp.
For you have made me glad by your acts, O Lord, and I shout for joy because of the words of your hands.
The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree, and shall spread abroad like the cedar of Lebanon.
Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God.
They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be green and succulent.
That they may show how upright the Lord is, my rock in whom there is no injustice.
The second reading is from 2 Corinthians 5, 6 through 10, and 14 through 17. Paul encourages believers to live by faith and not by sight. We do not consider Jesus from a human perspective, but through the eyes of faith, believing he died for all and was raised. All who are in Christ and now in God's new creation. A reading from 2 Corinthians. So we are always confident, even though we know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we do have confidence, and we would rather be away from the body and at home in the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. For all of us must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may receive recompense for what has been done to the body, whether good or evil. For the love of Christ urges us on, because we are convinced that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, so that those who live might live, not longer for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away, see. Everything has become new. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise and day, and the seed would sprout and grow, he does not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come. He also said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when sown upon the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs, and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. With many such parables he spoke the word to them, as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. If anyone wants to come forward for a children's chat. Big children can come too. Good morning. How are you doing today? I'm going to show you a picture. This is the most important man in my life. Good question. Take this, show this to them. Who do you think this is?
See, his father is here. Maybe?
What do you think? He may have been going for that vibe, I'm not sure. This is from 1933, so he may have been going for that. Alright, you heard people make some guesses. Who do you think this is? That is correct. That is my dad. 1933, so he's about 20 years old. It's the earliest photo that I have of him, given to me by one of my cousins. My dad and one of his sisters went to live with another one of his sisters. So she has information about my dad that I don't have. So I'm sure you have some pictures of your dad, right? That's really interesting. Your dad's still alive, so you can still see him. So you don't need a picture of him. Okay, I'm gonna ask your dad. Do you have a picture of your son?
Oh,
Gioba. Of Gioba, but he's still alive.
A little bit. He's been threatened.
Yeah, that kind of happens. So I was really delighted when my cousin sent me this picture because this is not how I remember my dad. Of course, I was not alive back in 1933 or 1943 or 1950. I know him as an older man. He was about 50 when I was born. So it helps me to be able to see him young. It's really difficult sometimes to imagine our parents as being children, isn't it? Can you imagine your dad as a child? Can you imagine what he must have been like when he was your age? Short and stubby. Are you short and stubby at his age?
I might have had husky pants.
But it's really strange to think of our parents as being children, right? Once upon a time. And it's strange for some of us to think of our parents even at the age that we were at. You know, can you think what your parents must have been like when they were your age? Yeah. Yeah, you would have known them then.
Yes.
Yeah. Does it help to have pictures of them back then? As you look back? Why does it help to have pictures? To remember the good times, yes. Exactly. And I know as I was going through some things while I was in California, I had a box that contained all sorts of old things that included even my bank statements from when I first went to California in 1970.
things that I shredded, because I don't need my bank statements from 1979 and 1980, but in there also I found letters from my parents to me that I first knew to tell them. What do you think I did with them? I did not shred them.
Okay.
I didn't read them. I read one. I couldn't read it right now. I opened one, it was from my dad. Now, my dad may not realize it from this picture. My dad was very much to the point. And I opened it and looked. It's clearly like my dad's handwriting. I opened it up, it was a single page, and it simply said, "Dear Anne-Marie," he always called me by my first and middle name, "Dear Anne-Marie, I know you're trying to make a go of it, but I think it's time for you to come home now. Love, Dad." Whole letter. And I'm thinking, yeah, it was a way for him to tell me that he loved me and he was concerned about me because things weren't going well. I was having a great deal of difficulty. So for me, having that letter is also a reminder of how much my dad loved me. And having pictures of him reminds me that there were times when he had difficulties in life. Here he is at this age, and I know that he is not his dad, and he will soon lose his mother. So it helps me to kind of put it into perspective what the life of my parents was like and gives me a better understanding of my entire life. As do the letters that I have from them that tell me how much they miss me and I need to wake up. One of these days, your parents are going to miss you a little bit, right? No? I'll ask you about that in, let's see, how many more years? Not soon enough, right?
I can tell you the exact date that would be
fine. How about if we have this conversation in about, 8 years? How's that sound? About 8 years, and we'll see if we miss you again. Thank you so much. let's pray. Good and gracious God, we just thank you for the gift of photographs, letters, other memories that we have of our parents. We thank you for the parents who are still with us, and we ask that you help us to cherish them. And we ask all things in the name of our risen Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I told you a little bit about my dad. I'm going to tell you a little bit more because it is Father's Day. My dad's name was Enoch, which should tell you something about his family. First, it was that he was child number 10 out of 12 and they were running out of names. But second, that they were a Bible reading family. They were a very much religious family. Enoch, of course, being a character from the Old Testament. One who walked with God. My dad couldn't remember when he was baptized. He came from a Baptist family, so he would have been baptized when he was older. But he remembered, he believed, that he was also baptized again just before he joined the army. Somewhere along the line, he was exploring whether the church in which he was raised was the one in which he wanted to stay. And then he met my mother. And he decided that he wanted to marry her for reasons that I'll never understand. Because the two of them were so dissimilar, I have no idea how they ever thought that they were going to make it work. And yet they did. They made it work until my dad died at the age of 90. Two very dissimilar people, my parents were. But they loved their children. And in a strange sort of way, they loved each other. I didn't understand that sort of love until I watched Fiddler on the Roof. You ever seen that one? Fiddler on the Roof? Yes. As Tevye asked Golda, "Do you love me?" And her response is, "Do I what? Do you love me? Yes, I love you." And then she recounts all the ways that she's loved him. She's cleaned the house. She's cooked his meals. She's done his laundry. She's born his children. Of course, she must love him. And he says, "Well, after 25 years, it's nice to know." that's the sort of relationship my parents had, of a love that grew as time went on. And I know that they loved us children. And I have to say that, you know, as parents, you're not supposed to play favorites. And if you ask, am I your favorite child, what do they say? You're all my favorite children, right? Well, I know that wasn't true. I know that I was my dad's favorite because I most resembled him. The thing that I remember most about my dad is his love of gardening. Some of the earliest images I have of him are out in the yard. He always had the greenest grass, the most well-kept lawn in the neighborhood. He always planted a garden. He planted all sorts of things, carrots and okra, tomatoes, of course, and zucchini. That's what everyone plants, tomatoes and zucchini. And my mother would ask us, go out and pick a salad. He loved his garden. He tended it with great care. He even had his own crop of worms that he would go out and feed. He had a big board over the worms, and he'd go out with the table scraps and pull up that board and hear that sucking sound. And he'd spread out all of those treats for his worms, and he would use the worm pieces to enrich his garden. Such care he took with his garden. And I look at the influence that he had on us. Just as he tended his garden, he did his best to tend his family. Just as he spread seeds in his garden, so he spread seeds in his children. And some of those seeds took hold and bore fruit. My dad was forced to leave school because of the death of his father when he was almost 12 years old. They were a sharecropping family in rural Alabama, and he needed to leave school in order to support the rest of the family. And he told me one time how he hated his father for dying on him, because then he knew he would never get the education, he would never become president of the United States. Really, that was what he said. He would never have the education to become president of the United States. That there was going to be a limit in his life to how far he was going to be able to go, because he could never have the education. And he made sure to instill that seed in us that we would all be educated. There were five of us children. Five bachelor's degrees, four master's degrees, one professional doctorate. Not bad when you consider that neither of my parents had more than an eighth grade education. He instilled that seed of the love of learning, the understanding that education was going to take us places that he could never go. He also instilled in us a love of music. My dad would sit in his room and play his guitar. He came from Alabama, so it's a guitar. And what he would play would be the old-time tunes. Red River Valley, Birmingham Jail, the old folk tunes. And I would sit and listen to him play and sing along with him. And that just created a deep-seated love of music in me. The one thing I can really say for my dad is he was a man of faith. And he instilled in each one of his children a seed of faith. And he nurtured it the best that he could. He made sure we were in church every single Sunday. Unless we were deathly ill, we were in church. There was nothing that was going to keep us from church. He made sure that we were well educated in the faith. He sent us to Catholic schools because that's what we were. He made sure that we received all the education that we needed. He planted that seed. And it's a delight to look at my family and to see that each of us have remained faithful Christians and attend worship regularly. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus compares the kingdom of God to seeds. He says that a farmer goes out and strews seed. Perhaps he goes out and he sows the seed. And he goes to sleep and he wakes up and goes to sleep and wakes up. And the seed grows. And he doesn't know how. Well, these days we may have more scientific knowledge about how seeds grow. But the reality is that we sow the seeds and the seeds grow. If they have enough nutrients, if they have enough water, if they have enough sunlight, the seeds grow. And then he says, and the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. When I was in California, I saw mustard seeds. There are several different kinds, but the kind that we have in California are weeds. They're pretty weeds, but they're weeds. And they're tenacious weeds. They start out so small, but then they dig down their roots. And the next thing you know, they're 6 feet tall and growing. And the whole yard can be covered with them so quickly. They may not be trees, but they sure make big bushes. And the kingdom of God, I think, is like that. It is like a mustard seed. It digs down its roots. And the next thing you know, it's spread everywhere like a weed. And so I think of the seeds that my dad planted, not only in his garden, but in his garden, the garden of his family, and all of his children. And I think of the seeds that we are called to go and plant elsewhere, the seeds that I planted in my children, the seeds that I plant in my congregations, the seeds of faith that I hope are planted, and that I hope grow and spread like leaves, so that when you go and you spread your seeds, those seeds of faith and those that you meet, they may grow like weeds as well. The strong roots grow tall. Here. Amen. So let us join together in our hymn of the day, Lord Be Glorified, number 744.
He descended to death. On the third day, he rose again.
We come before the triune God to pray for our communities, ourselves, and our world.
Nourish your faithful people through gifts of word and worship. Guide the church in listening to and interpreting your message of grace for this time and place in history. In your wisdom, lead us in expanding the reach of your love. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Nature sings your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. Sustain the holy rhythm of creation, days and seasons, hibernation and activity, phases of the moon and tides of the sea. Let these patterns assure us of your constancy. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
You raise the lowly and humble, those in high regard. Raise up all who are victims of marginalization, discrimination, and hate. As we anticipate Juneteenth, banish white supremacy and bigotry from the hearts of your people, and remove the inclination towards anger and violence. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Tend to all who journey by faith and to wait with patience for the fulfillment of your kingdom promises, especially those that we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. Grant perseverance to people doing physical and occupational therapy, people living with mobility concerns, and people facing chronic pain. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
As you have loved us, so let us love one another. Empower fathers, stepfathers, grandfathers, adopted fathers, and chosen fathers to embody this gift of love for their children. Where these relationships are strained or broken, bring your comfort and peace. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
With gratitude, we remember the saints who are now at home with you, especially Clarence and those we name aloud or in quietness of our hearts. Plant seeds of their wisdom and witness in our hearts, that we grow in faith until we join them in your heavenly dwelling. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Receive our prayers, O God, and come quickly to our aid through the power of the Spirit and the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share with each other a sign of that. Thank you for supporting the ministries of St. Luke's Lutheran Church with your tithes and your offerings.
and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of the angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join your unending love.
Thank you.
responding to God, not forever. Amen. Let us pray together in our Sunday song, "I Know That My Redeemer Lives," number 611.
Thank you.
that would be when you guys
talked about
the garage or something. It was their single guy.